What's up, you guys? Sean Ross Sapp, FightfulSelect.com. It is time for the Backstage Report podcast. We have a lot of random news, a lot of Impact news. Let's go ahead and get into that Impact news. Quite frankly, they had the most buzz of last week. We had mentioned that Impact had been very active in the free agent market of late, but they were active in contacting free agents well before that. They had reached out to several names from the past for their TNA versus Impact wrestling storylines, including Taylor Wilde. Now, she didn't specify if she was brought in for that Impact wrestling TNA storyline, but the time frame matched up. She was set for some shows in March, and they didn't end up happening. And March or April, and they didn't end up happening. So she was put on the back burner, so to speak. She can't get into the country because of COVID-19, and she said that she had kept in contact with several members of the Impact Knockouts locker room, and the plan to bring her back in was a collaborative effort. Now, this isn't necessarily new news, her unretiring, so to speak, but it has flown under the radar. But she told me that it's not just Impact Wrestling. She would be open to competing in independent wrestling as well. In her area around Toronto does have Smash Wrestling. It does have A1 Wrestling. Has a lot of stuff like that. She wrestled for about 7 years, but wrapped up her career very, very early. It surprised a lot of people when she just kind of finished up. Her last TNA match was a decade ago. And that's a little bit wild to think that, one, TNA has even been around long enough to have somebody who last wrestled a decade ago, but she's 34 years old right now. Her last Impact Wrestling match, TNA wrestling match, was when she was 24 years old. And by that time, she had already become Knockout champion and two-time Knockout tag team champion, and had a run for 2.5 years there. And she was an integral figure. She immediately came in. They did the $25,000 challenge from Awesome Kong for audience members, so to speak. And the whole thing was that she kept not getting picked for it in storyline. Then she beat Raisha Saeed and beat Awesome Kong. She told me that she didn't expect anything like that, considering the profile of Awesome Kong, but was more than happy to be thrust into that limelight and that spotlight. And I'll give you a little bit more insight why that is. She was actually pegged at one point, according to her, to win the WWE Cruiserweight Championship. Now, this is a wild story, and sometimes I like to mix in some of this retro content. When things aren't really moving fast in the wrestling news world, there's not a lot to really talk about on the weekends these days when there's no pay-per-views, but I noticed that on her cage match listing, there were some WWE matches there. There were several, from January 07 especially. There was a weekend or so where she faced Jamie Noble in a series of matches in Texas and Arkansas. But the name listed was not Taylor Wilde. It was not Chantel. It was Sensei. And I'm like, what the hell is Sensei? So I asked her, and she said that there was actually a pitch, and it was put forth by Dean Malenko and Jamie Noble, of all people, that she would wrestle in a full body suit, under a mask, as a ninja, and take on men. And the idea is that she would have eventually won the WWE Cruiserweight Championship from Shane Helms. Now, she didn't name Shane Helms, but based on the time frame and who was champion at the time, I figured it was Shane Helms. And Taylor said that him not liking it, whoever was the Cruiserweight champion is what she said, not liking it is why that was kiboshed, and that she met with Vince McMahon and that he was initially in favor of it and all that. And I asked Shane, I mean, obviously I have a good relationship with Shane, and when I asked him, it was more like a, hey, I heard this really wild-ass idea. Did this really happen? Was this pitched? And he said, yeah, I didn't like it. I thought it was stupid. It didn't get much past a pitch, though. And originally, fans were not supposed to know if it was a man or a woman underneath the ninja garb. So Shane outright admits that he was given the idea from Malenko and I think Noble. And he was like, that's stupid. I don't want to do that. But this is me freestyling here. I don't know that that's what got it shut down. I mean, I think Shane would be the first to tell you. Vince is going to do on his show what he wants to do. But Shane outright admitted he did not think it was a good idea. It was pitched. Taylor Wilde seems to think that she was supposed to become the cruiserweight champion. That was one of the more unique lost title stories that I've heard of. And I mean, I saw the one making the rounds a couple weeks ago about Muhammad Hassan. He had told me that too, that he was supposed to win the WWE Championship or the World Heavyweight Championship at SummerSlam, whichever that may have been. But this one was a major surprise to me because we never saw Taylor Wilde in WWE, period. Never. She was in the developmental territory for a while, and she worked one more dark match 5 months later. They kiboshed that, and they brought her up as Chantel to work a match with Jillian Hall in Pennsylvania that June. And she, there was also some things like that she mentioned. She said, oh, yeah, after that I was out of a job. But that's not true because I think maybe her time is messed up a little bit there. Because that was all planned for January based on the house shows. And then there she was 5 months later rocking the Chantel gimmick. And along the way, she teamed and feuded with Natty in FCW and Deep South Wrestling. But that interview's dropping this week. I really liked it. It was fun. I wish it would have been on video, but that was a hell of a story. A hell of a story. So speaking of more Impact Wrestling free agents, so to speak, the roster knew that Heath Slater was coming in weeks ago. Even prior to his WWE appearance, there were people saying, yeah, Heath is coming in. In addition, Gallows and Anderson were well known as being brought in. Gary Cassidy had reported as much. However, Curt Hawkins and Bully Ray were both rumored, though the speculation backstage was talks with Bully Ray fell through. I can't confirm that, but they also had heard about Curt Hawkins coming in, and he eventually did. They brought him up on the Tuesday Impact show. So I did some following up on another thing because I had spoken to Kevin Thorne, Mordecai, about Monty Brown for our recent interview. Now, I've talked to people about Monty Brown for quite a while. He's a very interesting figure in wrestling history in that he was very clearly the guy that TNA could have anchored their ship around. They could have made him their big star, especially their homegrown star since they like it so much. He has not appeared at a wrestling show outside of Kevin Thorne's charity show since he left wrestling. Like, that's it. And Kevin spoke very highly of Monty Brown, said that they remain close after 12 years, and they still keep in touch, and he asked Monty to come down for this charity show, and he jumped the opportunity to do it, but he did not want to wrestle. And he does not want people contacting him to wrestle. And he said, Kevin said that people reach out to him all the time to get Monty on their shows or to even get his number. And he will not give them his number. He will not do any of that. Now, Monty has been backstage at both Impact and WWE shows over the last year. He looks in great shape. He's there seeing some people that he knew from the past. I hear nothing but positive things about him. But also, I hear that Impact Wrestling stars constantly pitch him to come in. They constantly, not necessarily to him, but to the company. And I'm sure that if the company could get a hold of him, if the company could bring him in, they would. But they can't, unfortunately. So I actually know a lot of people that know Monty Brown. I'll keep on this and try to find out. Whenever we ask hey, what do you want to know about? Who do you want to know about that's maybe gone for a while? Because I love doing those interviews too. He's always the one. He's always the one that we get the most the most feedback on, so to speak. Tessa Blanchard, her team seems to indicate that even though that she and Impact Wrestling were on the outs, that reports that she demanded a large sum of money to return the title were false. Now, I asked Impact Wrestling PR about this, and they had not heard. It didn't sound like they had heard about anything, but they hadn't heard that she had requested or was waiting for an address. Now, this was one person in the PR department. This wasn't Don Callis or Scott D'Amore. I was told by Tess's side of things that she didn't try to hold up Impact, and the company only provided her an address to send the belt back last week, and that they claimed the title is being planned for a safe return, and that there are no worries there in that regard. Now, when I did reach out to Impact Wrestling via their PR department, they said, I didn't know about that, but we'll send her the address. And I even had to clarify, no, she says she has it now, but she didn't then. Before we move into more WWE stuff, there's a bit of a Tracy Smothers update that I have. Now, I mentioned that there were a ton of interviews that I did in like November of last year that just saw the light of day over the past couple of months because we had some YouTube issues. And there were some people that kind of spotted out that Tracy Smothers had appeared in one, obviously, and that would have been after his cancer diagnosis. And they were asking me for a bit of a timeline on that. So it ties into an interview that I did with Chris Michaels, who is a really great indie wrestler, has been around for a long time. I went to interview him, I want to say, late October, early November, and when I got to the venue in Lexington, Kentucky to interview him, he was filling in for Tracy Smothers for a seminar. Now, we didn't know it at the time, but the day before, Tracy had been diagnosed with lymphoma. Now, we didn't know that, although he did say, man, that's kind of odd. Tracy always makes everything. A couple weeks later, I'm in North Carolina, and I'm doing an interview with Mikey Whipwreck, and Tracy Smothers scoots on over. We still do not know at that point, when we're doing this interview, that he has lymphoma. He had not announced that yet and was still making his dates when he could. I don't think he revealed it for another month after that. And he was still trying to make his dates and make some money and do all that stuff. So I got a lot of respect from him for that. Because I did have some people say, well, you didn't ask him about his lymphoma diagnosis even after he was diagnosed. And this interview just came out. Why didn't you ask about it? Well, I had long hair in the interview, so obviously it was old. But, I mean, I had long hair for about a month and a half after his diagnosis, too. But that interview actually took place in November, and because of our YouTube issues, we lost a bunch of stuff. And that was one of the files that we had lost. And fortunately, we're able to get it back because that's a moment that I'll always be really happy with, how I was interviewing Mikey Whipwreck, and Tracy was just like, hey, let me go talk about some stuff in the middle of this. It was Tracy Smothers. That's Tracy Smothers. And it was a fun interview, and it was a fun panel, really. A lot of ECW guys were there. Rhino, Just Incredible, Mikey, Tracy. And I had a really good time talking with them. But just to clear that up, that was why I had not asked him about that. But here's the hoping that he gets better soon. Retromania. I did a Q&A with the makers of Retromania, which has been pushed back to August. I asked a lot of questions, which included them specifying that the ownership of Demolition is disputed, and they did not want to risk the legal recourse in including them. So if you're wondering, hey, this is a WrestleFest sequel, where's Demolition? Well, they didn't want to risk that because Demolition has been trying to fight WWE for the ownership of that name for a long time. After there was a bit of a public back and forth between RetroSoft and Cody Rhodes, they told me they had gotten in touch with his reps, but that was before AEW. Mike Archer, one of the creators, had a relationship with Zack Ryder and Curt Hawkins and reached out to make a deal when they were released by WWE, and they were very surprised that they were actually able to land the Road Warriors in the game. They're hoping to include women in the game as well, but that is contingent on the level of success at launch. They told us what features, deciding what features to do now compared to add-ons has been the most difficult challenge that they've faced thus far. They were able to get a blessing to be the sequel of WrestleFest according to a licensing deal with the people that hold the WrestleFest license. And right now there are not customizations options or a career mode, but there is a story mode that has interactive cutscenes and the in-game decisions shape that story. I'm very excited for this game. WrestleFest is one of my favorite wrestling games of all time, so the official sequel, hope it lives up. I'm very excited for that. WWE news, Kairi Sane. She is supposed to be on Raw tonight, and WWE has pitched several ideas over the course of several months to keep her on the payroll. They want to keep her around. Specifically, they want to keep her from wrestling anywhere else. That is very important to them. And I've heard that some of those ideas include her returning to Japan as an ambassador, as a trainer, a lot of different stuff, working a wrestling school, a lot of stuff like that. We'll see how it goes. She'll be missed if she leaves. Kevin Dunn. So Extreme Rules had some really, really good wrestling, but Kevin Dunn apparently was not happy with one spot in particular. I was told that during the Sasha Banks Asuka match, there were some production snafus that set Kevin Dunn off. I was not told of specific instances, but that Dunn was upset that cameras were catching Bayley in spots they weren't supposed to. When asking around, we were told that it wasn't insignificant, but it was enough to get Dunn to shout at people over not protecting talent. Speaking of protecting talent and protecting the biz, we heard that Indu Shares Sarav Garar apologized. I don't know if it was to the locker room, to Keith Lee, but we're told that he apologized for spoiling the results of the title-for-title match before it happened. He had posted a picture of Keith Lee celebrating in the ring with both title belts and confetti falling a week before it aired. And I had heard that it didn't sit well with Keith Lee, but I don't know what that means. When somebody says, oh, it didn't sit well with Keith, I don't know if he went off. I don't know if he was very respectful about it. I don't know how he handled that. And I'm not sure of like the response there. So I'm not saying that Keith Lee went off. I'm not saying that he asked for an apology. I don't know how he handled that before you guys ask on the Q&A this week. He and his partner have not been punished from what I understand. And they are both favorites of Matt Bloom, who wants them to do really well. So I would probably be surprised if we do see anything like that. Injury updates, contract updates. Mustafa Ali has been moved to Raw officially. This was reported last month, I believe. Leo Rush appeared on GCW, his first wrestling appearance since leaving WWE. He claims that it's his last match. I don't know if that's true. He's 25 years old. He'll be 26 this year. He's full of talent. Who knows what he's going to do? Who knows? Brian Myers joined Impact Wrestling, as we had mentioned. As far as injuries go, Mandy Rose and Otis are both set to return. They've been out of action since the COVID testing started, and you know, we can't speculate because that neither one have said that they have COVID, but Mandy has not wrestled since the May 12th episode of SmackDown, of those tapings. Otis has not wrestled since the June 8th SmackDown tapings, although they have appeared on the show since then. Mercedes Martinez returned and has aligned herself with Robert Stone. Mansoor returned earlier this month. I can't remember if I even mentioned that on the show. Sammy Guevara has returned after missing, I think he was out of action for 3 weeks, underwent some counseling, and missed 4 weeks of television, and he returned to action on last week's episode of Dynamite. Some clarity on the North's contract, because I had people saying, oh, well, the North's contracts are up. The North's contracts are not up. Ethan Page's expires at the end of the year, Josh Alexander's at the end of next year, from what I understand. Statistics. Mustafa Ali's last win on Raw was March 2018, which also featured him teaming with Cedric Alexander. He wrestled for the first time in over 5 months on Raw last week. His last televised match was in 2019, so Monday was his first televised match of the year. Yikes. Ruby Riott ended a 21 singles match losing streak. She'd lost 17 televised singles matches dating back to February 2019. Aleister Black had an impressive streak ended last Monday. Outside of a gauntlet match loss to AJ Styles, he had not lost a televised singles match since he left NXT. Montez and Angelo Dawkins, the Street Profits, wrestled their first match in over a month. Cody Rhodes made his sixth successful title defense of the TNT title and his third of the month of July. Eddie Kingston has now appeared in televised matches for AEW, NWA, Impact, TNA, and ROH. After appearing for Impact last week, 2019 was the only year since 2013 that EC3 didn't appear for Impact or TNA. Jeff Hardy is only 5 months older than Sheamus and debuted 15 years before him on WWF, WWE TV. Matt Riddle moves to 3-1 on SmackDown since making his debut, and Bronson Reed has now won 3 televised matches in a row. Prior, he only had 2 televised WWE wins. I want to thank you guys so much for joining me. I want to thank you guys for all the positive feedback. I want to thank you all for a lot of things. We have some very cool interviews coming up and a lot of great backstage news coming from those interviews. I got like a bunch of stuff in the can that I am just aching to get out there. But I have an interview today that you guys are going to like a lot. Until next time, we're out.